The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, a gesticular Tuesday edition. Don't say that three times fast. A happier happy hour. Welcome to it, Dom.
Woohoo!
Rolling
happy,
into
happy
it.
Hour to you. Rich on the board, our audience, 844-967-2789, the greatest radio show ever.
Or the most irrelevant. You know, apparently dude tuned in the wrong day. Because tomorrow, chock full of relevance.
Did I tell you?
I booked a whole week's worth of guests. All for Wednesday's show.
Great. What do you got?
Tomorrow, starting the 4 o'clock hour, Joe Walsh, former Republican congressman, never Trumper, ran for president. We got a former presidential candidate on the show tomorrow.
Yeah, well, last time we talked to Joe, he was supposed to follow us on the Twitter at Devil Radio. If he hasn't done that yet, I don't know if I want to talk to him.
What a pain in the ass you are.
I'm just saying, we got him on tape. I'll bring it up.
Apparently you will. I'm sure he'll come back again with that sort of invitation.
Uh-huh.
Bill Press, does he follow us on Twitter, Dom?
He does, yes. At Bill Press Pod.
Bill Press, the pundit, CNN occasional host, The Hill contributor, friend of the Devils, at least one of us. And Charles Franklin. New Marquette University Law School polling out of the great state of Wisconsin. He'll be along in the happier happy hour after Bill Press tomorrow. So a chock full day tomorrow and Thursday, Dom, couldn't be bigger. The most important presidential debate of your lifetime. And we are hosting a party at the Barrymore Theater. And I might add, we have added at least one to the guest list, Dom. Charles Franklin, Marquette University Law School pollster, is going to do a deeper dive as part of our panel discussion from the Barrymore Theater on Thursday.
Oh, right on, Charles.
I told him I'd buy him
party.
Two beers.
Ooh.
He's good for two. So we encourage you to come join us. It is free. It's going to start by 7 o'clock, the panel discussion. Dom Kroot, Maggie Dawn, Charles Franklin, and you. Doesn't cost you nothing, but please bring beer. Let me restate that. Bring beer money.
There you go. Beer money. They got
bring
beer
cash.
There. You need to give them money and they will give you beer.
They have the cash machine as well, but you must spend the cash to buy the beer at the event. And if you want to throw some money in the hat, we would spend that money on our own beers.
Probably
I feel quite confident. Thank you all for considering the attendance, Dom. It will be star-studded. And then Friday's big show got Joe Zepecki. Joe joining us Friday to wrap up the debate and tell us how great Joe Biden did.
Joe. Great.
But today, you are our guest at 844-967-2789. Still working on Thursday's big show as well, Dom. But we're full tomorrow. We're full. Moose Out Front should have told you. We're full. We're all done booking tomorrow's show, Dom.
All right. Good.
But where are we going in the happier happy hour? I did let you lead once today and only got a few regrets, so.
Oh, thanks, Curdy. Thank you for your permission. The topics here. Trump's hush money gag order. Crudy has been partially lifted. I don't know if that's a great idea.
Now, he's still pre-sentencing. But can this be held against him in a court of law at, let's say, sentencing on July 11th?
Maybe. The updated terms allow Trump to resume speaking about trial witnesses, including Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels. I guess that's appropriate. Whom he has attacked incessantly. The partial lifting of the order comes just days before the debate, where Trump is expected to address his conviction in the case. You know, and that should be interesting too. I mean, is jacked up Joe going to throw the, you know, rape in his face, the fraud in his face? Are these going to be, you know, topics of conversation and digs? I would certainly hope so.
You know, Do you think he'll call him time? Felon?
Felon.
Come on, felon.
Crudy, the gag order remains in place when it comes to prosecutors overseeing the case, with the exception of District Attorney Alvin Bragg, as well as Judge Juan Merchan, although Merchan said he'd lift those restrictions after the July 11th sentencing. Now, the partial lift will allow Trump to address the jury that convicted him last month on 34 criminal charges, though the former president remains under a separate protective order that prohibits him from publicly disclosing their identities. Yeah, don't hold your breath on that. Merchan reluctantly lifted those restrictions, saying it would be his strong preference to extend the juror's protection, as Bragg's office had urged. A quote, however, circumstances have now changed. The trial portion of these proceedings ended with when the verdict was rendered and the jury discharged. The ruling comes just days before the debate. We talked about that already. In the order, Merchan defended his original decision to impose the order, noting appeals court had upheld it. Both orders were narrowly tailored to address significant concerns regarding the defense's extrajudicial speech. The orders were overwhelmingly supported by the record. Yes, they were. But now the jury's up for grabs, although he has a separate order. He can't, you know, release or identify them. And everyone's fair game, as far as the witnesses are concerned, or even the judge and Alvin Bragg.
Bragg is still covered by the gag order. The prosecutor is still covered by the gag order.
So a victory for Trump? I mean, go out and on the Truthy Social to start ramming on Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen, I guess. But he's already done that. I don't know that helps any more or less.
That won't stop him from doing it, I predict. let me check my inbox. I bet he's already sharing Dom.
He may be.
Oh, one late addition to Thursday's lineup. Democratic Party chairman of the great state of Wisconsin, Ben Wickler. He's down for 4:30 on Thursday. See, I'm doing a show and I'm booking a show all at the same time, Dom.
Irrelevant, my ass.
844-967-2789. You can join the most gesticular, perhaps most irrelevant show ever. And Dom, I want to bring credibility to this show by asking what should be the questions at the debate. Both sides are accusing the other guy, right? We've accused Trump of not being all there. We've seen him on the stump. We've seen him at rallies. I've seen him up close and personal recently. And he ain't the Trump he used to be, let's just say. And of course, the same accusations leveled at Joe Biden. Joe Biden, he's old, he's jacked up, he's whatever. So, I mean, maybe, Dom, maybe there should be some different sort of questions asked at this debate, and that would help us, the American people, the electorate, especially the undecided, the swingy sort of voters, what sort of a character we might be dealing with here. What sort of intellect do they have, Dom, when posed with rando, unexpected questions? So there is
coming
an article. I can
Tapper
support
and,
this.
And Dana Bash, right? I mean, we got to rely on CNN for this, right? And all the right wingers are all about, well, Donald Trump, he's doing this for you. He's walking into the 3-on-1. It's going to be 3-on-1, they say. It's not going to be just Joe Biden. It's going to be Joe and the moderators. Fake Tapper and Dana Bash, right?
I know they keep saying that. But I don't know if you watched the Ron DeSantis, Gavin Newsom on Sean Hannity debate. Oh, man. That was ridiculously slanted. So I've seen it happen. I've seen what a 2-on-1 or, you know, Trump accuses a 3-on-1. But here's a potential question now. And I do have a piece over at the Washington Post. To judge the candidate's character and cognitive ability, let's abandon the typical questions. Nothing typical. Here's a question. What's your least favorite state? South Dakota. It's easy. Although I might put Louisiana in that mix. No, South Dakota. I've never been there. I've been down south before.
Come on, man. You've never been there? How can you call it your least favorite state?
I was trash talking it on the air some month or so ago, and a nice lady from South Dakota was
said, don't do that.
But so, old habits die hard.
You could go there and you would enjoy yourself.
Well, see how that is a non-traditional question and creates an opportunity for dialogue, for context.
No, there's no dialogue. It's a gotcha question.
You know what Trump's going to say? New York. Stop
beating your wife. You know what I'm saying? It's not a question. There are no least favorite. When you're the president of the United States, you cannot articulate, even if you have one, and tell people what your least favorite state is.
New York. So unfair. They've rigged multiple trials against me. Uh-huh, who would want to do business there? What's your favorite state, Dom?
Wisconsin.
Well, of course. You know, that's the correct answer on this radio show. Yeah. But what about our listening friends in Chicago, Illinois, or Minneapolis?
I've had many fun times in both of those states, but I have much more fun here in the great state of Wisconsin.
Except the winners. Those get to be a drag.
Yeah, but it's not like winners in Chicago or Minneapolis are any better, man.
Well, I didn't say they were. I'm just saying you're insulting our friends in other states.
If you make me pick, then apparently everyone else is insulted. That's why it's a terrible question to ask at a presidential debate.
You know, you're so fun to play with on the radio some days. Let me tell you why I'm not going to play with your context. The rest of you. The rest of you.
What were you doing for the 3 hours during the January insurrection? You can ask Trump that question, and you can ask Joe Biden that question and see what their answers are. That's a relevant question that I still don't know the answer to.
I was enjoying a nice lunch at the White House. I was watching. It was a lot of fun to watch. Those are my people. The real patriots. Come back. The real patriots listen to the devils.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
And thank you for listening to The Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open for your take always at 844-967-2789.
Why would the audience play along if you're not even going to play along?
Come on, favorite state. Come on, man.
Just asking some offbeat questions. I recall on this fine program many years ago when it was slightly less fine, you and I were interviewing Madison Mayor Paul Soglin. And you got around to asking him a question, something about how did his musical roots affect his politics, something in that trajectory.
Yeah, because he was like an old 60s guy, right?
I mean, And Paul snapped at you. He got all surly. And in part, that was the day he earned his moniker, Mayor McGrumpy Pants. But Paul didn't appreciate the tone of that question. It was a little offbeat. It was unexpected. And he got to know a little something about Paul's character. You know, sometimes a little salty. So here's my debate question, Dom. A train leaves New York at 8 a.m., heading west at 85 miles an hour. Another train leaves Los Angeles, heading east at 90 miles per hour. When do the two trains meet, and how much should Amtrak subsidize them?
Ah, nice. Well, there's no profit? I mean, shut it down, man. If they're not making money, shut it down. That's what you do.
Come on, even Mussolini made the trains run on time. You going to tell me Trump's going to be a dictator and not make the trains run, Tom?
Well, dictator on day one, Curdy, just one day.
Dominic, these, according to this piece I found at the Post, I was trying to support my little conjecture here.
Yeah.
You are two of the least popular candidates in history. What is your most admirable character trait the critics don't appreciate? You get 30 seconds.
I'm so humble. I'm so humble. People don't know how humble I am. I'm the most humble person of all time.
How about this? What is the most admirable trait in your opponent?
Ooh.
Didn't Hillary get one short. Like that?
He's very, very political. Very small hands, too. Have you seen his hands? Very small. What's that?
You know, I prefer my candidates to not be involved in insurrection. See, I'm just wondering, like, of the very you know, important issues as it pertains to what Donald Trump has done and the attack on this country that he was, you know, very much part of, that we're not going to get to the bottom of prior to this, certainly the debate, prior to this election. Hell, if ever, we'll see what happens. Keep your fingers crossed. But I'd really like to hear some of those questions about those issues that perhaps there's some unknowns on yet. I joked about the, you know, what were you doing for 3 hours during the insurrection, but that's phrase it differently. But I'm very curious how that would happen. How do you see, you know, this attack on January 6th? You know, you have both these guys on stage. This is an unresolved issue, and if we don't watch ourselves, we'll be back in that position again.
Okay. Which recording artist most reflects your musical taste?
Well, Donald Trump, it's got to be, I don't know, Kid Rock or Ted Nugent. I mean, can you really pick between the two?
Who do you think Biden would pick musically?
Biden. No, man. I'd like to know what is on the Biden Spotify list. Does that matter? Will that help you get to know the candidates better? Those kinds of questions going to change anyone's vote, do you think?
Well, they claim a presidency is which candidate you'd most like to have a beer with. Now, if you're playing crappy music, I don't want to sit there and drink with you.
Well, okay. Well, right back at you, Crudy. What is the crappiest music in your opinion?
What'd you ask Rich to play for you before? No, the crappiest music?
The worst, crappiest. You turn it off. As soon as it comes on, you turn it off.
It's going to involve Yoko Ono and screeching.
I don't know that one.
If you heard it, you would know it.
You'd know.
And you would turn it off.
Okay, so, but
how about you, Dom? Worst musical song, you would turn it off immediately.
Yeah, it's the country music, man. I'm not a big fan of the country music.
You would turn it off?
I would turn off country music, yeah.
What if I listen
to almost anything else, but I very, very rarely would keep, like, a country song on. And again, it's not, you know, it's more poppy these days, and I know it's a very popular genre, but it's not me. And usually when I'm, you know, driving around out in the country and it comes on, you know, I try to, like, you know, guess what the words are going to be. If I never heard the song before. And there's this one, I swear to God, it was like, you know, a breakup song about a guy and his girl, and he's in the cab of his truck drinking cab out of a plastic cup or something along those lines. And we were driving, I just got assuming what the words were going to be. And they were, man. It was like, oh, my, it was your classic kind of country. You know, depressed.
He lost his girl, his dog, and his pickup truck all in the same night, and he got drunk about it.
Music backwards. You get your dog back, you get your truck back, you get your girl back, get your house back, get your job back. That's what happens when you play those music backwards.
Okay, another.
I'm down with the outlaw country. The old stuff was, I mean, I kind of grew up with that, but the new stuff's, you know, kids these days.
I see you as more of a Florida, Georgia county line guy. Yeah, Dom. Here's a potential question to Trump in the debate. You said Trump Tower is 68 stories high. Official data says it's 58 stories high. How much in tax deductions are you claiming for servicing apartments on those 10 imaginary floors? I mean, that'd be a difficult question to answer in real time on live TV.
I have accountants to take care of all that. I really don't touch that. You'd have to ask Alan Weisselberg or my attorney, Michael Cohen.
How about this one, Dom? This could be difficult, and I'm going to ask you to please participate. Sounds like math on the radio, but starting at 100, count backwards by sevens. You can't even do it.
I'm not going to do math on the radio, man.
93, 86, 79, 72. Six.
Are you sure?
What are we going by? Sevens?
I don't know.
I forgot what number we're going by.
Well, you know, it'd be easier if you do it by six.
You know, now we're really earning that
irrelevant.
That Twitter tweet at us. I think we're well on our way.
Alfonso, you cursed us, man.
844-967-2789. I haven't cursed on the radio all day. That's what the dump button's for.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a gesticular Tuesday edition, a happier happy hour rolling through it. Crudy reading the text line, a WMDX texter says, Joe Walsh from the Eagles? I hate the Eagles, man. No, former Congressman Joe Walsh joins the big program at 4 o'clock tomorrow. Paul gave Alice Cooper the key to the city. I'm not sure what that's regarding, but it's good information to know. Here's a question for the debate, Dom. A texter says, ask each whom they spend the most free time and doing what? Biden's answer will be talking to his family. He calls them or sees them in person every day. Trump spends his free time golfing with business associates. And let's face it, everything Trump does, including politics, is a business to him. Biden the family man, Trump the man for sale. Oh, worst state. Best, Colorado, says a texter. Worst, Iowa. Is it heaven? No, it's Iowa.
Oh, it's Iowa.
A texter. This must be the musical influence. Village People for Donald Trump. That's where he gets the hand dance from, I suspect. Ah, Cam from Nina. And I think he's taking a shot at us, Dom. Van Halen was the worst band I've ever seen live, and it's no contest. Also, my question for Biden and Trump, your partner and your parent of that gender switches bodies. It's a convoluted and complicated question. In order to switch them back, you need to sleep with one of them. Which one do you choose?
No, thank you.
You know, there
actually, and if I may rebut to Cam.
Yes.
You are so wrong, young man. The worst band ever live was Everclear. At Summerfest.
Oh, they were also terrible at the Barrymore Theater one night. Oh yeah.
I saw 2 years in a row at Summerfest. The first year, the first time, great, had a blast. It was so much fun. Next year, I'm like, oh, that was a lot of fun. Everclear, come back, we'll go back again. All right, that was awesome. Go back. They were so lit up, man. They couldn't remember the words. It was like a 40-minute set. It was just not great. Like the audience was more sober than they were.
When they pulled the kid out of the audience and the audience member played the guitar at the Barrymore Theater, that's the most structure any of their music had all night. Dom, here's a possible, just a possible. I'm just throwing it out there as a possibility. Guest over on the MSNBC today, trying to compare and contrast Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And, you know, of course, the tag on Joe has been, he's too old. Well, here is how the guest suggests that Biden sort of preemptively throws it out there. And he said, yeah, maybe he won't put it exactly this way, but here's the story I'd tell. I quote, and I'm not saying he would say this, but the choice here is the choice. If you have to, if you want someone to house sit your home, and you have two elderly men you have to choose between, you have to pick one. One, this guy named Joe Biden, who's elderly. He may forget to turn the porch light off. He may take a nap or two, but he's going to water your plants and feed your dog. Donald Trump, the house sitter, will kill your plants, sell your furniture, and kill your dog, and probably let the burglars in so he can split the profits on whatever the burglar is going to get. That is the choice between the two older people that will sit your house. Somebody forgets the porch light, and someone that will sell your furniture and kill your dog. Who are you voting for, Dom?
Oh, it's not even close. And let's not
Joel, leave the light on for you.
Yes, please. Yes, please. Joe, all day long, man. This is what I'm saying. You wouldn't trust, you wouldn't want Donald Trump alone with your wife or daughter. You wouldn't. Would you?
Absolutely not.
I'd love to hear that. No, I mean, of course not. The guy's a predator. He's a convicted found liable for rape. That's that guy. And he's got, you know, dozens of other allegations against him in that regard. So, you know, you don't want him around your family. You don't want him around your house. You don't want him house sitting. You gotta water the plants.
It's yeah, but inflation was so low during the pandemic, Dom. Yeah, gas was amazing. Cheap.
I mean, gas was so cheap. Everything was so cheap because no one was doing anything because the entire world was locked down.
Yeah, but those were the good old days.
It was a strange time, no doubt. But those were not the glory days by any means. Were you better off 4 years ago? That's the traditional one, right?
Well, I've heard lots of righties say, if Trump just goes out there and says, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Yes!
I mean, in what context? I mean, in everything. So certainly, let's look at what the headwinds have been. Inflation. Okay, certainly. Now we can look at that as some of the supply chain issues. Okay, we can mark some up for that. But you also have to look at, well, where the corporations are. I mean, their job, as they described it to me when I was in grad school, return for their stockholders, man. Not so concerned about the community. I know it's become more of a thing these days, but it's all about getting your quarterly bonuses and getting your stock could go up or pay higher dividends, those things. And the stock market's doing really, really well right now. And a lot of that is because we'll call it greedflation. They jacked their prices up to such a degree they're making fistfuls of money. And then they're going to slowly lower. You know, it's like the gas stations. You know, all of a sudden the prices go up and then they slowly come down. But there's a reason why the market's where it's at. There's a reason why corporate profits are as high as they are, is because they're making tons of money. They're making tons of money because they jacked up their prices. They jacked up their prices because they could. Because they hit it, they put it in there, and everyone's just saying, oh, well, that's what we do now. It's just higher now. Now everyone gets used to paying those higher prices. Well, a big chunk of that is for those corporations to make more money. That's a part of it. You cannot take that away. So if you're going to say, yeah, inflation is really high, well, then you got to look at wages and you have to look at what corporate returns and the market's been doing.
Dom, may I share the advice Hillary Clinton would give you and Joe Biden? Hillary Clinton has shared her pro tips with Joe Biden for how he could win his presidential debate with Donald Trump. Writing in the New York Times, Clinton shared a few words of wisdom to her fellow Democrat about what he's up against. She writes, I know the excruciating pressure of walking into that stage, and that it is nearly impossible to focus on substance when Mr. Trump is involved. She wrote, citing the blizzard of interruptions, insults, and lies, it's a waste of time to try to refute Mr. Trump's arguments like in a normal debate. It's almost like the facts don't matter here, Dom, when you're debating with Trump. She goes on. It's nearly impossible to identify what his arguments even are. He starts with nonsense and then digresses into blather. She also said Trump's trademark attempts to throw his opponent off balance will fall flat if Biden is as direct and forceful as he's been with GOP hecklers during the State of the Union address in March. Clinton went on to highlight Biden's record on job creation, rising incomes, and investment in clean energy. He'll win if that story comes through, she wrote. Biden's got a record of accomplishment. If he'd go out there and tell that story uninterrupted, they are going to mute the microphones, supposedly. We'll see how they do. CNN doesn't want to be overly harangued for cutting off the, you know, the verbal diarrhea of Donald Trump, I suspect.
Well, that's the term of the debate, then they damn well better do that.
Well, they also have it at their discretion. Someone in the control room apparently can leave the microphones on if they so choose. I also saw that, Dom. You know, if it's good TV, if it's good for ratings.
Oh, is that what we're doing?
Well, it is a made-for-TV event, Dom.
Is that, it's all about the ratings? Is that what we're doing? Listen, if facts don't matter, then whether or not Joe can articulate, you know, his investments in green energy and job creation, well, I think so on and so forth, hear my point. It won't matter. You can say it. In fact, if you're going to tell me that facts don't matter, this is all just going to be a personality. It's all going to be
seen. Well, I'm saying refuting Trump with facts.
Who can control the other guy more? Because if facts don't matter, then what are we actually talking about?
Well, I would say that Joe Biden definitely has to lay out his agenda, his accomplishments, the Inflation Reduction Act, the bipartisan infrastructure bill. You know, he's got to put that information out there. I think facts can be effective when Joe was talking about Joe's record. When Joe is arguing with Trump, I'd leave the facts aside. I'd be looking for one opportunity to punch him right in the gesticulars.
So it's all about the trolling then.
Oh,
so,
you know. When it comes to his policies, his thoughts, because like Hillary Clinton said, Tom, it's not like he's got any policy choices. He just throws stuff out there. He sees if it sticks, and then he'll take the opposite side, and then he'll take this side. And, you know, people have been saying, I've been thinking.
Yeah.
Well, how do Everyone's you refute that? You don't refute that with facts. You don't go through case in point. Well, you said at a rally in Philadelphia that you believe this, Mr. Trump. Because that's not going to be an effective mechanism of debate against the man. You got to be able to punch him in the nose.
Using his own words against him will not be effective. Facts, not effective necessarily, at least as it pertains to him. So are we just going to be like hurling insults at each other?
Yeah.
Is that what it's going to come down to?
When it comes to describe your opponent, I'd be, when they go low, we go lower. That's the nature of this debate. I'm afraid, Dom, when you talk about your own policies, you can soar rhetorically. You can say nice things. You can be that shining city on the hill when you're describing your presidency and what you hope to bring for the American people. But if I was talking about the other guy, oh yeah, nothing but brass knuckles and dirt in his eye.
So rape, fraud, those
felon,
insurrection,
whatever felon, it takes. Fascist.
Torture. Those, I mean, these are, I mean, Trump's old words against him. So those are Trump's words and actions against him, though. Those are facts.
But that's Trump different than trying to hold him accountable for tax policy. You know, your tax cuts are going to expire, Mr. Trump, and I think that we should extend tax cuts for Americans below $400,000, but we should extend, you know, end the tax cuts, sunset the tax cuts above $400,000. I don't think there'll be any nuanced policy discussion within the framework of Biden trying to attack Trump. If that's the framework, if you try to frame him with facts and policy, that's not going to work. You can frame your own facts and policies, but don't try to level them against Trump.
Apparently, Trump added twice as much to the national debt as Joe Biden. More, let's see, $8.4 trillion versus $4.3 trillion, according to The Hill. Do you think there's going to be a lot of talk about national debt and deficits? I mean, I would imagine. Right?
Do you think there is, really? I mean, is that on the tip of every American's tongue?
I think, talk to lots of folks, yeah, debt comes up. I think it does.
Well, debt comes up behind immigration, personal expenses, and inflation, and a lot of other issues, but the national debt, the country's debt load, I mean, I understand. It's untenable. And I can tell you how to solve it, man. It's got to take some of that boomer money when they eventually pass. Got to have a higher estate tax. But as a decision-making question of either of the panelists, Tom, no, I don't think that's going to move the electorate. I think it's going to come down to a zinger.
National debt. You don't think that's going to be a point of...
I think it's going to come down to a personal insult.
What the topics are going to be. Do you remember? Let me ask you this. Do you remember any of the topics last time these guys debated?
No.
No.
No, you remember the tone, right? You remember Trump interrupting them a lot. And you remember the, come on, man, let me talk. But you don't remember the policy. That's not where you win or lose. The takeaway will be an emotional response to something one of these two guys said. Someone's going to get punched in the nose, and someone's not going to react well to it. And that will turn the debate in the eyes of the viewers.
I mean, if Joe's taking no steroids, you know that roid rage will happen sometime.
He literally punched me right in the nose.
More Devils, your calls are next.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now on the line, on the text. It's the same, 844-967-2789.
Dom, I've been monitoring the text stream. Drew from Watertown says, Rolling Stones, obviously, this must be greatest bands, greatest music, because one of the possible debate questions was about like greatest bands. Drew says 80 plus and still killing it.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, Joe Biden is. WMDX Texter says any Beatles song. Worst. Who doesn't like the Beatles?
Some people, man. You know, my understanding, there's a big like are you a Beatles guy or a Stones guy? You know, there's a rivalry back in the day.
Can it be both?
I was more of a Stones guy.
Cam's still out there trash talking Diamond Dave Van Halen. That was the best Van Halen. Some say.
Yeah, but not a great singer. Great performer. Not the greatest voice.
Well, Cam was trashing him for dancing around with his scarf.
That's not dancing. That was karate, man. Don't you know?
Tom from New Berlin says, thanks, Crudy. Verbal diarrhea. Good line to my Trumpster friends.
Yeah.
WMDX Texter says, I'm afraid Trump's going to surprise everyone and act normal. Joe just needs to act presidential and pull in all the independents he can. And Lynn from Madison says, forget the shoes and Bibles. I want to see Trump rugs because nothing lies like a Trump rug.
Yeah. Nice.
Eric from Madison, worst band live. Equals Motley Crue. Must have been to Summerfest the other night. I heard Vince Neil was weak.
I mean, Vince Neil has never had a great voice, and as he gets older, not great. But apparently they were plagued with some audio issues as well. And I was actually debating. I was on like the cheaptickets.com, whatever site. You know, I'm like, I've seen Buck Cherry and Seether and Motley Crue. We've seen them all a bunch of times. But, you know, it's like if I'm going to go to Summerfest, that's my lineup, man, for sure. Like, of all the 9 days of Summerfest, I'm the Buck Cherry, Seether, Motley Crue guy. Well, didn't go. And then read the reviews the next day. I'm like, oh, my God, thank God I didn't blow the money to go down there and just be pissed off.
I saw Buck Cherry like 2 summers ago in Lodi. Got my father-in-law very, very high. 844-967-2789. Mark from Sussex. Welcome, Mark. You've been patient. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Mark, what do you got?
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call. I guess if I was going to ask Joe Biden a couple of questions, my first one would be what you guys kind of talked about earlier, he being the family man. As the family man that you are, what is the name of Hunter's
grandchild
that you've acknowledged that you know, basically doesn't exist. I guess the second one would be
Mark, as long as Trump gets the same question for Don Jr. and Eric's kids, and if and Ivanka's, if he can name all his own grandkids, fair question, but you got to ask both parties. He can't even name his
doubt on that.
Trump can only basically name Ivanka, and then it's Beavis and Butthead, and then Tiffany and the one Melania likes. I mean, that's how he describes his own children.
The second question I would ask is, what is the name of your vice president? And then the third would be, what day of the week is it, or you know, whatever, I guess.
Who do you want Trump to have as his vice president?
I'm actually pulled a couple different directions on that. I think it'd actually be really good if there was a female. But I'm also looking at the North Dakota governor being a business savvy as much as he is. I don't know. And
those eyebrows are sexy. Those Doug Burgum eyebrows. Oh man.
Well, the nice thing is that he's got multiple options where if Joe Biden doesn't perform on Thursday, I think there's going to be an uproar and you could see a change in the Democrat presidential
nominee. No, I highly doubt that, Mark. Mark, let me, and thank you for the call, man. I want to ask you one question before we move along. If you listened to the show earlier, I was lamenting the fact that Donald Trump sent out an email solicitation and said he was tortured when he was booked in to Fulton County when he was, you know, hawking his mugs. Mark, do you think it's appropriate for the former president of the United States to claim he was tortured when being booked into custody?
Well, again, the way he overemphasizes and over-exaggerates things, it doesn't surprise me. Do I think it's appropriate? Heck no. Do I think that he probably got run through the process a little tougher than most? Yes. But for him to say tortured, that's a little strong.
Than most? You ever been booked, Mark? Because I've been booked, man.
Yes, I have. And I've only heard about 85 times that you've been booked. So.
Well, now it's 86, Mark. Now it's 86.
Wayne, you want to
86 Mark's ass.
Hey, Wayne, we'll squeeze you in. What do you got?
Yes, I just wanted to comment on the fact that, you know, you guys are talking about how Biden should either go low or high. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Biden's going to beat him on every issue. But if Trump does go low, I think Biden should just bring out the fact that you're a convicted felon and a rapist.
And, I mean, I'm with you right there, man. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, say it factually, say it with disgust, because it's true.
How about this one? What's your probation officer doing tonight? That one came in from a texter. I can't claim that's original.
Does Trump have to take a drug test for his probation officer prior to the debate?
I'm less clear. We'll see how the sentencing goes on the 11th. Thank you all for listening. Tomorrow's going to be a much bigger show. We got Joe Walsh. We got Bill Press. We got Charles Franklin. And we'll have you listening. And don't forget, Thursday, big debate night. Be at the Barrymore. We will.